Welcome to Abiding in Hope. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, clinical counselor and Catholic therapist in Columbus, and my co-host is Father John Sims Baker, a professor at the Pontifical College Josephinum and a priest of the Diocese of Nashville. This is a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and this production is for you, our listener. We welcome your questions to our website, abidinginhope.com. Father and I have started this show with the hope of offering you hope in all of life's challenges. We all have them, and at times they're deeply spiritual. At other times, they might be psychological. At other times, they're questions about the meaning of life. Whatever they are, there are always opportunities for grace and growth and goodness in God's eyes. And so this program is helping you to see that God has control over every detail of life. And we hope to be a bit of maybe his voice here for you in each and every show. So again, go to abidinginhope.com and you can offer up your questions there, and we will use them in all of our future shows. We want you to be a part of this show. We're here for you. And so it's a blessing to have Father Baker here with me. And Father, would you start us off with prayer, please?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you in all things. We offer this time in particular to you that we have to reach out and to hear and to connect with others, to accompany others in their own struggles, in their own journey, helping to renew all things in you. Under your headship. And so we bring all of the things that we'll be talking about today, offering, lifting them up to you. And we offer these prayers to you through your Son, who in loving obedience to your will suffered and died for love of us. And we ask also for the intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, Father, I loved in a previous show, I was thinking about this, that you suggested that our trials and tribulations, our challenges, our struggles in life are adventures. And I think that's putting a really very positive spin on all of this, a hopeful spin on that. And so I guess as we start off this show, I'm thinking of a question that we're about to propose. And if our listeners might even just look at this as I read this question as an adventure, as all of our questions that we have about challenges can be adventures, that they don't have to be negative things, that that they can be adventures and lived out with Christ. They can come to a very good end. And so here is our first question for today. And it comes from Hannah. Hannah is a 26-year-old female, and her question starts out with a little background info. And it says, I have a chronic illness which causes severe pain in my joints and is often debilitating. I've had to quit my job, which required constant work on a computer. My hands get extremely painful, causing me to be unable to work with them. I have recently married and hope to start a family soon. I want to be the best wife and mother possible for my family. How do I know God's will for me in all of this? I have wanted nothing more than to be a good wife and mother and a good and faithful Catholic. Should I pray for healing of this illness, or should I offer this pain in prayerful acceptance for the conversion of others? Please also talk about redemptive suffering. Thank you, Hannah, for that question. It is really a remarkable one, and I think it shows a great depth and great wisdom coming from a young woman. So often, 26-year-olds, in this world today don't necessarily have questions about redemptive suffering. And I think that's a beautiful thing that comes from Hannah. So, Father, let me turn this over to you.
Well, to look at Hannah's question, that when we get actually to her question, she yes. asks, should I pray for healing of this illness, or should I offer this pain in prayerful acceptance for the conversion of others? And just as a simple, short answer to that, I would reply with a word that a theologian who died just a few years ago, an American theologian, Father John Hardin, said one of the most important words in Catholic theology. It's a very short, simple word, but very important, and that is the word "and." And so I would suggest that Father Hardin has really given us the answer to this question, but don't worry, we're going to continue with the show. We're not going to just stop and say, actually, it would be, you should do both of those things, actually. It would be good to do both of those things, to pray for healing of this illness, because that shows great trust in God and a childlike confidence in his goodness and his love for you. Or should I offer this pain in prayerful acceptance for the conversion of others? Again, that shows, again, tremendous trust in God's wisdom, a great generosity and charity in your heart to suffer for on behalf of others. And so, yet both of those things are very, very good things to do. But you ask also, how do I know God's will for me in all of this? So what should I really do? And many of the other people listening right now might be thinking about similar situations that they've been in, or a place where they've been trying to discern God's will, or maybe a similar sort of thing. I know what I would like to ask God for, but is it okay to ask him what I really want, or am I supposed to just take what I've got? And so this question really opens up a lot of things like that. Of course, it's a beautiful thing to look, of course, to the scriptures for answers to this. What we find in scripture, of course, are people very confident, very trusting, very open in coming to Jesus and asking for what they need from him. The beautiful story of the woman with the hemorrhage that had suffered for many years. She had heard about this man, Jesus. She had convinced herself in her own heart, if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. This is somebody, she'd exhausted all of her money on doctors and things, never gotten any better. If I can just touch his garment. And so she goes and she stretches and reaches and in a secretly touches Jesus. And then something very dramatic happens. One thing is she's healed. The power comes out from Jesus. But then also, Jesus stops and turns around and says, who touched me? Wow. What do you think that woman felt like at that moment?
Busted. That's what I would. I feel like, oh, man, he really know. He has power, and he really, and I better go hide. Yeah.
Well, you know, and actually, the apostles, again, show themselves as sort of, you know, kind of the sort of bumbling sidekicks that yes. they sort of appear to be in the yeah. Gospels a lot when they say, what do you mean who touched you? There are lots of people touching you. But Jesus knew what he meant. And the woman knew what he meant too. And so she stepped forward and mm-hmm. said, it's me. And Jesus said for her to take courage, that she had been healed. She did this by touching. And this just brings up so many images in my heart. But the main thing for you, Hannah, and for maybe others out there who have something that you really want to ask God, ask him. Ask him. Reach for him. And trust that he wants to do better for you than you even know what to ask. But I've seen this particular story enacted. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know if some of our listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the Steubenville Youth Retreats. And there is a beautiful custom and adoration where they will take the Blessed Sacrament around the priest, holding the, in the context of this scripture passage, through the crowds, the priest holding the monstrance with the humeral veil, and the young people there encouraged to, you know, ask in their hearts whatever it is they want to ask Jesus, and to touch the humeral veil as it comes past. It's a practice that we used in the university where I was chaplain for a while. And it was always so amazing to me what would happen then. Because actually so much more happened than I think practically anybody was expecting, especially those the young people who would entrust themselves to God in this way. So first of all, I think that's a very, very powerful image of God's desire for what is good for you and your ability to trust him. And so I would encourage you, go before him, maybe in the Blessed Sacrament, and maybe, you know, and reach out at least in your heart to him and tell him this. You know, actually the church even uses this same gospel passage as a description of why the sacraments work. You know, people sometimes talk about, wonder about, well, why is it that when this person receives Holy Communion or, you know, whatever, it seems to have such effect, and another person it doesn't? Well, again, I think it's because of that longing and desire in the person's heart that opens up that chance, that fruitfulness for God to, for Jesus to step in. You know, so for any of our listeners, whenever you're going to Holy Communion, go like the woman with the hemorrhage, reaching out to him. Don't just bump into him. That's what Jesus said. Oh, lots of people, the apostles had said about Jesus, lots of people have touched you, but few touched him in faith. Or when you go to confession, mm-hmm. or whatever, to know this time it's going to be different. This time this is it. So that's what I would say. First of all, that yes, please do pray for healing, and please do offer the pain in prayerful acceptance for the conversion of others, because we don't know the timetable. Again, remember the woman with the hemorrhage. She'd suffered for 12 years. And that's also very, very powerful. You bring up redemptive suffering. You said, please talk about redemptive suffering. Well, I'll be happy to talk about redemptive suffering. It's one of my most profound experiences, I think, and maybe earliest things that came through to me. I remember when I started to school, to Catholic school, long before I was a Catholic. That's another story. But in the third grade in Nashville, Tennessee, at St. Pius X School, I went with my parents and met Sister Catherine DeRitchie, who was the principal of that school. And please pray for her right now. She's the oldest member of that community of sisters right now. Mm-hmm. But when we were children in the school and come run up to her, sister, you know, I've, you know, skinned my knee or whatever, that she would say, and it sounds like, oh, that's just what a sister would say or something like that. But it was so profound. She would say, offer it up, honey. Offer it up. And maybe some of our listeners of a certain generation have heard that before. You don't hear it too much anymore, unfortunately. But that's redemptive suffering. That even a child, or maybe especially a child's skinned knee, can help with the salvation of souls if united to what Jesus did on the cross. And we have that opportunity. And Hannah, you have that opportunity as well. So let me be like with Father Hardin and say, yes, both and, go for it. It is, and probably you'll get a chance to do both. You know, because God's ways and timetables and that sort of thing aren't always ours. But it's the most important work you can ever do, is to unite your sufferings to those of Christ.
So beautiful, Father, so beautiful. If you're wondering what you're listening to and who you're listening to, I'm about to tell you. You're listening to Abiding in Hope. It's a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And the voice that you just heard so beautifully answering that question is Father John Sims Baker from the Pontifical College Josephinum. And I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your co-host for this show. And Father, I loved when you were talking, and I believe that was the quote about the woman touching Jesus' cloak, and that was from Mark.
That's Mark's gospel. It appears, the basic story appears also in Matthew and in Luke.
Yes.
But this is from Mark. It's the fifth chapter of Mark, and the whole passage would be verse 25 through 34.
25 to 34 in Mark chapter 5.
That's right.
And you mentioned courage because Jesus says to her, take courage. Could you read that part again?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. I thought you knew this by heart. What's
sorry.
The deal here?
But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling, like you were saying,
yes.
And fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So she came
in
fear.
Did he not say take courage?
I think in Luke's gospel, perhaps.
Oh, it's in Luke's
the
gospel.
Perhaps that,
okay. I thought, but as I was listening to that, I'm thinking how much courage it took that woman to go up and touch, just to touch his cloak to begin with. It took courage, but it took great faith. And it took hope. It took so many things to be able to do that. I think after the fact, it particularly took courage for him, after he turned around and said, who touched my cloak? I know that in one of the versions, it talks about him feeling the energy going out of him, right? And so who took my energy? I would be afraid and, to say, it was me. I'm sorry.
Well, also
I did
this
something
woman, according to the Mosaic law, with this hemorrhage that she's been, this issue of blood that she's had, would have been considered ritually unclean.
Right. That's
so that,
right.
So
yes.
That for her having touched someone else would have been
a huge sin. She would have really probably felt like very much of a sinner.
And you see that Jesus overlooks all of that.
That's the part I'd love so much. And that so often we feel as if we're maybe sinning if we ask for one thing and not for something that might seem more charitable. It's more charitable, of course, to pray for other people and then accept my cross. But that these things are, they do not have to be mutually exclusive. As you said, there's that and, it's both and go for it, as you said. And I think that there's so much to be learned in the journey of that too, in the adventure of doing both and in this case, because there's not, in terms of the redemptive suffering offered for others, that's a great thing, but there's redemption for yourself, Hannah, in the process of accepting this suffering and going on this adventure, as we had talked about in the prior show when I opened this show, that this is your life adventure here, and your redemption is tied to this suffering of accepting it, and working with it. Those challenges for you are not just going to be necessarily in the current pain that you feel, but what happens as you progress in your marriage and what happens as children come along, those future challenges and those future sufferings. So this is your adventure, and to look at it that way, God has a purpose for this in your life, and your spiritual growth, your own redemption, and really your emotional growth and your personal growth in what's involved here, you're going to need all of those things, and those will happen by turning this to the Lord and accepting His will, whatever that be, praying for the best and accepting what comes and praying for other people. But how this particular struggle is going to prepare you for other struggles along the way. Oftentimes with my clients, I talk with them about life gives us these dark tunnels through life, whatever they are. And in those dark tunnels, we don't always know. We think we're alone in those. We can't see Christ walking in front of us with that lamppost or that light for our feet necessary, nor can we really feel Him sometimes, His presence. They're just dark and we feel alone. And the one thing that we know is that he is with us, even though we don't feel it. He is with us. And he is leading the way if we just surrender ourselves to follow him. But what happens about these tunnels is, even though they're very dark at the moment, the light does come at the end somewhere along the line, and we get a respite from it for a while. But there were lessons that were learned in that previous tunnel that are going to be valuable for you in the tunnels to come. And so to not miss that point, that there's this growth in each one of these dark tunnels, whatever they are, there's growth and there's grace and there's goodness. I don't know why I keep hanging on those three G words, but it's all there and it's in the present in those dark tunnels. If you but believe in faith that God is there with you and he's leading the way.
You know, I think the kind of question that you ask, one of the things that's very helpful always in the spiritual life in any way, is to look to the lives of the saints. Look at saints and how they dealt with things like this. And as we've been talking, I've been thinking a lot about Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, and how she had this tremendous doctrine of confidence in God. You know, there's this funny kind of story about her when she was maybe a little bratty little girl, perhaps, at Christmas time. And she was offered, as the youngest, maybe the choice of what Christmas present she wanted or something like that. And she said, "I choose all." And so, but she's kind of, she used that as a, as an example of the kind of trust and confidence we should have in going to Jesus and asking him for what we really want and what we really need. It shows confidence. Like little children, they don't hold back from asking for things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that. And they trust. But in her life as well, I mean, her life, though, was, you know, very short. And with tremendous suffering, you know, at the end of her life. And even though I'm sure that's not what she had, you know, in that spirit of asking for all, you know, maybe that's not what, you know, what most people would think of. And yet, you know, she had then the grace in that moment, as you said, to accept that, to use it redemptively. Of course, of all the saints, Saint Therese is known so well for intercession, for her hearing. So go to her and ask and answering prayers. So it's very, very powerful time. I just encourage you to, you know, to basically leave it to God. All of these things, leave it to God first and foremost. Don't be afraid to ask him, but also don't be afraid to accept what he sends you.
There's something that, you know, Father, we really have a great producer here with us too. And he likes to be a part of the show, Dave Warsborn. And he comes up
with
these great thoughts. And so he just passed me a little note. And he said, if Hannah is local, she can visit the Blessed Margaret of Castello Shrine at St. Patrick's, of course, because here's a little bit about St. Margaret of Castello. She was severely disabled, an Italian Catholic woman and a member of the Dominican Third Order. She became known for her deep faith and holiness. She has been beatified by the Catholic Church and is considered the patron saint of the poor, disabled, and the unwanted. She lived from 1287 to 1320, and thank you, Dave, for that, because
yeah,
I think that's great.
She was essentially abandoned by her family because of her extreme physical handicaps.
Oh, my. I don't know if you've heard of the Chinakalo community.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I had the privilege of visiting them when I was over in Fatima. And there was a man who was extremely disabled. He was a shepherd boy. And this is current times. He's living with the Chinakalo community, but he was a shepherd boy. I suspect that he's now somewhere in his mid 40s, I think. And because he was extremely disabled, his family cast him out too. They abandoned him at the side of the road, and he really didn't have quite the abilities to know what to do or how to survive or whatever. They just threw him out. So it was a wonderful order of monks that came and picked him up. But then the monks, they raised him basically, and then they all passed away. So the community, Chinakalo community, which is a community for those addicted to drugs and other substances and just other behaviors as well, they brought him in and he lives with them. And the joy that is in that man, though he's not able to really communicate, but the presence in his eyes and all, I just felt like it was really Jesus that was there at that table with us and in all of the activities we did with them. So, this is for Hannah, but this is also for all of you. You know,
absolutely.
Whatever the challenges are that you have in life, what Father's words were, what my words were today, we hope that they apply to you as well and that you can take something from this program. Father, would you please send us off with a blessing?
Of course. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And I leave you with this quote today from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And I add, until next time, God be with you.